Ready. This is the Police and Fire Committee meeting. September 19th, it is 4:40. We're about to start with Nick Trotter.
We're going all over here so everybody can make sure and hear me on the mic, I guess.
Okay, I think you're good.
I give you all a little printout of just basically my notes and a few things that I wanted to just kind of make y'all aware of happenings, of issues of importance. First one, I'll start with Engine 1. That's our 2007, one of our 2007 fire trucks. It's in Van Buren, and they actually called me this afternoon, and hopefully it is fixed. But the AC system has been an ongoing problem since we took delivery of that truck in 2007. I know you wouldn't think that's the truth, but the day that truck got backed up and the salesman delivered to us, the check AC light was on the dash. And he said, "Oh, no big deal. It's all under warranty. We'll get you somebody out here to fix it, blah, blah, blah." They'd work on it. It'd go for about a month, and then it quit working. So it went to the Kenworth dealer in Van Buren day before yesterday. Me and Jason took it up there, dropped it off. He actually called me about 2:00 and said it was ready. So we're going to go up and get it tomorrow. Hopefully that issue is an issue that we have dealt with for 12 years. I hope that's fixed. While we're talking about ACs, the air conditioner on Station 2, it went out last summer 2018. And I'm pretty sure I brought it up at our working budget meetings last year. I'm pretty sure I did. That was something I was going to try to address this year, but we've had other station maintenance things that's come up in the past. I finally got Dustin from Anderson's to come out and look at that unit the other day. I'd had several people look at it, and nobody really ever diagnosed it for me. He said the outside fan and the compressor is out on it. That's the original unit. We built that station in 01 or 02. I put 01 because I believe that's when it was. He recommends we could spend about $2,400 replacing those parts, and he said it could go out again. He said you might tear the parts up that we just put on. To replace that unit is $4,100.
Tell me the no more than we really you're in and out of that. Mm-hmm. Is it more essential for the heat to have it warm in there through the winter, or?
The reason I didn't fix it last year is because we were just leaving the doors open on the bathrooms because it's all basically one big, and I've got the one, the bay heater out there. So that was staying on, which was keeping, you know, the pipes from freezing in there. So that's how we was able to creep it off over there. If we didn't have any other heat, we would have had to done something, but you know, just something that I hope to do it this year. But we've made several other station repairs through there, but that's something that I'm going to have to look at this next year on getting that repaired. And really, you know, I mean, it's a it's an 01 unit, so
18 years
old. It's number three, the bay. One of my bay doors at Station 1. In 2017, we added the bay door on the end down there. We added the bay door when we re-roofed it. The company that put the bay door in, little did we know, did a very poor job on putting the door in. The framing wasn't good in it and all that. Since then, the panel has been damaged. Most of the time, the garage door isn't even in operation because of this damaged panel. So that is something. That's something I'm going to have to fix this year. That top panel can be replaced. Said $3,000 has been spent this year on garage door repairs. when the station was built in 1995, all the wiring for the doors was not ran through conduit. So they just ran all the wires through it.
Okay.
So 25 years later, all the wires. So that's the reason I spent $3,000. It looks real good now. All the wires, electric wires, and everything. It's all ran through conduit. So hopefully that will be done until I'm long gone. But I'm still going to have to repair. That door or replace that the panel. I'll go over on my station. I've already went over a little bit on my station maintenance. I sure wasn't expecting to have to spend that much money on one project. I'll go over a little bit on it. I won't bust the bottom line, but yeah, I'm gonna go over on station maintenance. You know, we've got the station was built in 1995, so it is what it is, you know. Our 2011 Chevy pickup that Jason drives, it's give us a lot of trouble this last year. We've spent close to $3,000 on it just this year alone. Right now he's getting about anywhere from 7 to 8 miles per gallon driving that truck. It has 83,000 miles on it. I would like to, this next year, replace that truck as a daily driver. I put it could stay in service as an equipment slash support truck or possibly be used as a street department vehicle. The truck has more life in it, just not as a daily driver. He told me today, we thought it was a little fluke thing. He told me just a while ago, it's been starting to overheat on him now. Just like you look down, it'll be overheating.
Why have we not gotten more life out of that truck?
That truck was the cheapest truck. That was the cheapest truck that you could buy in 2011, full-size truck. It was a civilian model pickup. If you actually buy the correct vehicle for that, they're called SSVs, special service vehicles. They have bigger alternators, bigger cooling system, the bigger brakes. They're designed for
getting up and going,
running traffic and sitting there idling. We took a civilian model pickup and okay. made a vehicle out of it. Approximate cost to replace the truck is approximately $40,000. On the Arkansas State bid, we can buy the SSV truck, special service vehicles. We can buy that. Then we'd have to put striping lights on it. We'd probably put a camper shell and a slide-out tray to carry equipment in the back of it. I wish we could get more out of that. I think we could get more use out of the truck, maybe if we made it an equipment truck, a fetching truck, a support truck, maybe haul some tools in it. But as far as the daily driver,
I think
another year or two, we're going to really have some trouble with it. Number five, starting to conduct pre-plans for the new Bank of the Ozarks building. I actually went over today, and I was in the process of typing up their certificate of occupancy, but I was got pulled off on something else. They are building cubicles and stuff in there. They're starting on the fourth floor, but we're starting our pre-plan on that. I kind of hinted on that the other night at council meeting. We're gonna have to do some measuring and stuff. Hopefully we'll never have to fight fire on the third or fourth floor of a high-rise building. I don't know, but as I kind of said the other night, if you do have to fight fire up there, you have to carry your fire hose up there with you. So we build what we call high-rise kits. It's nozzles, couplings, and it's about 150 foot of hose. So you throw that on your shoulder and you climb four stories.
So you actually do that internally? You're not talking about something externally? You're talking about going inside?
Yep.
Okay.
Inside the building and the stairwells is what they call standpipes. It's a water system in there. We go up whatever floor it's on. We'll hook to the standpipe on each floor And actually on the roof also. There's a standpipe right outside the roof access because it's possible we could have a fire on the roof. They have all their AC units and everything's on top of the roof. But we have to measure all that out and build our high-rise packs considerably. And when I say it's not that big of it's not that when I say build a high-rise pack, we just wrap hose together and attach them together. But it's something we have to have. Last week I bought a new 2200-watt quiet run generator. It weighs about 46 pounds. We can use that on top of these bigger buildings to run our positive pressure fans off of. And I've actually also ordered a battery-powered positive pressure fan. We've needed these in the past. We have the schools are big. Imagine if you got smoke in the middle of the junior high. How are you going to get all the smoke out of that building? You got to take your fan in there to it and blow it out of there. So this new fan I have coming actually takes Milwaukee rechargeable batteries, the same battery that you'd like hook onto a cordless drill or a Sawzall. So we bought that. That will help us out there. Me and Jason's going to start on all that pre-plan. We're going to start on all that pre-plan stuff, and then once we're done with all that, we'll have a fire meeting, and we'll go out. We'll go out there on fire meeting. Everybody can do some training there. We have started doing commercial building inspections. With the poor conditions of downtown buildings and the roof classic rustic edge, it shows the need for a good building inspection program. Being blunt, I'm asking for support from everybody when we find these issues on these buildings. In the past, we've faced a lot of criticism from folks that sit up here when we try to enforce those building codes. I'm not saying y'all have, I'm saying in the past. I'm just asking y'all if it gets to the point to where we have to close a business down because we're afraid the roof is going to collapse in or it's going to catch on fire or it's a safety hazard. We're not doing it because we think we're cool and we can shut a building down. We're literally doing it to possibly save somebody's lives. We wouldn't do it if we didn't think we had to. Just kind of back us on that, you know, and say, you know, I don't really understand everything, but, you know, these guys are telling me.
Are y'all working with the roof inspector that Main Street is bringing in, or?
I'm not exactly sure who they're talking about bringing in. I think they're just talking about bringing a roofer in.
I would think they're bringing an engineer.
They're just using a local.
Because when I first heard that, I was like, whoa, if they get a structural engineer in there, they better be ready for what they get.
Because the reports are going to be bad.
Being blunt, because it's going to be bad. Because if they see it, they're bound by, you know, they're going to have to report it.
You're 100% right, Nate.
Not saying that doesn't need to be done, but if you bring an engineer in there, you could almost close every building down there.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Didn't I have somebody come look at those yet?
I don't know if they did. Or I don't know if anybody.
I haven't.
Chris Brock said that somebody can look at it. And there were certain roofs that the guy would get on.
I put a note on there, the bookstore. We've officially been dealing with fire safety issues since March 15th, 2017. Two deputy fire marshals from state police come down. Me and the then fire chief fire marshal, we were down there, and I thought both fire marshals from the state had the wide eyes and was like, whoa, when he walked into that building down there. He's like, y'all are going to do something about this. As of today, I think I did this tomorrow or yesterday, the books and trash have been removed from the outside front of the building. So all the magazine racks and the old chair and some of that, all that stuff has been removed out of there. I said this will lessen the fire hazard and help the appearance of downtown.
Looks a lot better.
Good deal.
It has to look a lot better.
Good deal.
I haven't been
down
there.
How did you do that?
How did
they do it? They, y'all went through and.
She received three tickets, and it finally, I think after the third one, she finally realized we meant business, and I think she had a little bit of help, and she got it.
Well,
so,
I hate that she had to get tickets, but good deal that it looks better. I'm gonna have to go by there and.
Yeah.
Now she's been trying to sell some books this week. Is that? I mean, she's got some other stuff out there now that's for sale again. I guess, is she cleaning out the inside of her building now?
She even gave away a bunch of books to get rid of.
No, I thought I seen something she had. There, somebody put on Facebook that she had magazines or something to get rid of stuff too.
She had boxes that said free.
Yeah.
What she had told us that what did not get picked up this weekend. I thought Goodwill, but then I think she had such a good response. She just took what was left, what she had left, out to the dump.
Okay.
I'm just reading my notes.
What about the? Is there any hazard? The apartments over there. Carousel, I call it the carousel apartments.
Yes, that's a.
Is that a hazard as well?
That's a very large hazard. That's a very large hazard.
Have you ticketed them or mentioned contacted them at all?
No, we've been in a lot of contact with her from over the years, because I know in the past there was several groups of people. She used to be renting those rooms out upstairs on that second floor. Unfortunately, back in the 90s at some point, some of y'all that y'all may remember when it went down or whatever, that was voted and changed to R1 or R2, whatever it is. Basically, it's dual zone, it's commercial and residential, where people can live in the buildings now. And that's kind of a good idea at first, but that's probably one of the reasons why we're in the situation that the bookstore got into, and then the property that you're talking about
right
in the corner there.
Yeah, I know, but there's got to be, I don't know.
That's one of the ones that I'm currently working.
Kind of a touchy.
It is, and you know, everybody hates a fire marshal, so.
Yeah, well, but rules are rules, and if I was breaking the, I mean, you could write me a ticket just as well.
I put the stress of the hazard that the bookstore's causing on downtown area. The massive fire load inside of the building would make it difficult or probably almost impossible to contain the fire. If that bookstore catches on fire, we can hope that the building that the blocks was falling off of against Maynard's, we will hope that that building collapses, which will hopefully stop the fire from getting on Maynard's building.
Mm-hmm.
The donut shop will not be there. The little, we may be able to stop it before it gets to the little clothing store, the church.
There's gonna be so much heat and stuff from all
there's
the
gonna, it, yeah, I'm talking nice, but Devin's probably right. We might be able to keep Rex's office. If that bookstore goes down, the bank will suffer some heat damage. The old Austin building will suffer some heat damage. It's bad. I put in my opinion, this building is the greatest fire risk we have in town. It just is.
That's scary.
Said multiple other properties in the downtown area have been identified as having fire and safety issues. Currently working on them. Like I said in the council meeting, if the building on the properties are in this condition because building owners have not kept the building up. They just haven't. I really wish they would. And, you know, if y'all get any calls on, citizens call you and say, hey, such and such is building's in bad condition or whatever, give me a call. And I'll, I can't see everything. We're looking at a lot of it, but, me and Jason, just two guys trying to look at this stuff. So if y'all get reports on something, we'll get down and check it out. All right. The next part is I got current and future purchases with our bond funds. The fire station's coming along pretty good. The doors are getting hung this weekend, so I can't wait. The bay doors out there, they're going to be red. They're going to be bright red, full glass doors. So I'm hoping to go by this weekend or at least by Monday and see that. So it's going to look really good. I've got turnouts on order. And if you remember, we're getting the line cancer barrier turnouts. These are top of the line turnouts. I'm not going to lie. They're expensive turnouts, but they're top of the line. They're top of the line turnouts. But I thought since the funds were there with the bond money, that we're going to get them. I was going to do it today, but I got pulled off on another issue. But we are going to order 6 new MSA air packs. They're the newest models that MSA makes. They actually have a thermal imager built into them. You can see if there's smoke, you can see heat. They're built into the air pack. So we have thermal imagers, but they're handheld devices that you have to scan around, and we only have 2 of them. So not everybody. So everybody that, if we have 6 guys in air packs, all 6 of them would have a thermal imager that they can use. I put approximate cost of $50,000, but that's not true. I got the newest updated quote, and it's $42,000 and some change. So if you want to line through 50, I was going to order those today, but I got pulled to the side. Looking at buying a new brush truck that would be housed probably at Station 2. I'd like to have a brush truck at all 3 stations. We would get a 3/4 ton state bid single cab 4-wheel drive truck by skid mounted fire pump like the ones we have, sticking in the back of it. It's kind of like automatic fire truck basically with those skids. So approximate cost is about $40,000 on those. I think the skids now cost about $15,000 to $16,000. The price of the truck's like right at $30,000, and then you got to put lights on and such like that. So we're at about $40,000 on that. I'm sorry. I want to buy a side by side. After we've always wanted one. After we went up to the helicopter crash and we carried backboards and air tanks and everything else through the woods, we about killed ourselves. And the whole time I was thinking, I sure wish I had a side-by-side that we could run down with some of this equipment. Unfortunately, we get down on the railroad tracks behind the cemetery probably 2 to 3 times a year, because people either jump / fall off, whatever the reason is. We have to get down the railroad tracks. We always go in behind Rex's parents' property there on Bluff Drive. Yeah. We go on Bluff Drive. If we had a side-by-side, they actually make little miniature skid units that go in the back of those, just like our brush truck skids. They're smaller. These have about 50, 60 gallons of water, and they actually have rescue. They're fire rescue skids where you can put a Stokes basket to where you could ride your side-by-side in, load a patient up on those baskets, and haul them out on the side-by-side. We had one of those. Everything that I think that we buy, I think it's, I always say it's Ozark Fire Department stuff, but I consider it Franklin County's. Because everything that we have here, we pretty much use out in the rural communities. So,
and I can understand that. But let's say we have some other departments that have some items like that. And typically, when I see that used, is at a music festival, and it's not for emergency response. So I'm not going to support you on that. Mm-hmm. If I have any inkling that thing's that not going to be used for just that.
I'm not saying we wouldn't have it at, you know it.
Right, but we're not joyriding it for half the year.
No, we're not going to take it and go to Mulberry Mountain. I'd be more
interested that it's going to be shared with the police department if they need it with Franklin County.
That's fine. That's no big deal. They probably would have been happy to. They probably could have used when the guy jumped in the river the other day. Could have ran down the road. We down the boat though. But one of the side by side we looked at is about $20,000 for the unit. I didn't put a price for the skid because I'm really not for sure. There's so many different ways that you can go on that. That'd be something we'd cross when we got there. Water tanker. We've needed a water tanker forever in Ozark. Our water's gotten better, but there's still places in town that we have limited water supply. We cover the whole interstate. Currently, if we have a big tractor trailer fire out on the interstate, we tie up every one of our engines running water shuttle. We have no apparatus that we can drop a water tank and do drafting operations off of it. So when we went into trying to figure out the best way to spend these bond funds, we were like, we got to buy a tanker. I know fire trucks are expensive, but I really didn't think tankers was as expensive as they are. But literally the cheapest one that we can find is $185,000. And I actually got an email a while ago. That one actually sold. One of my firemen, he works for a Forest Commission. He's like, hey, Forest Commission has this program that they take older military trucks and they build them into water tankers. The state prison system actually does the work on these, the prisoners that do. Long story short, we can buy through the Forestry Service a 2,500-gallon water tanker at a cost of about $20,000. It's not anything, it wouldn't be a truck that we'd probably put in the Christmas parade, but it would be a functional fire truck or water tanker. It would, and that's what I put for comparison. A new 3,500 gallon tanker is around $185,000. And I just didn't, we went around and around. I was like, that's just not good money. Spending $185,000 on a water tanker.
How many gallons are you talking?
2,500 is what these Forestry Commission trucks.
What about for the one that's 185?
Well, it's 3,500. Yeah, that was 3,500. And now, is it a nice truck? Yeah, it's a bright, shiny, brand new fire truck. But at the end of the day, we just need a truck that will get us a bunch of water to a fire scene and. The only bad thing about those is I guess there's a waiting list on them, and they say it takes usually about a year to get it. I've got the paperwork that I just haven't filled out yet and got our name in the hat for getting these. Shane says that what they say is somebody will put their name in the hat for one, and then it gets time there. Well, the money ain't there, whatever, and somebody backs out. Well, so maybe we could get one quicker than a year. Also from the Forestry Commission, for free, we can borrow a boat from them. When I say borrow, it's our boat, I guess, until we want to get rid of it. I'm not really sure exactly what kind of boat it is, but if we had a boat, we could get along the railroad tracks in it. We've got the city lake. We've got the river here. I don't think we have a need for a $100,000 fire rescue boat. I don't think we have that, but I don't think it would hurt if the city had a boat, especially if we can kind of get one for free. It may not be, we may look into it, and it may not be one that we really want. Right now, if we have an incident in the river, we have to wait on Game and Fish. Now, where are they at? Who knows? We have to wait. We have to wait on Game and Fish to get out there. If we had a little boat, we could. It'd be stored in our back building, and if we needed it, PD needed it, or whatever. They back up to the station, hook onto it, and they get in the river, they get in the city lake, or whatever. I always think of the worst because we have to. But what I know, Game and Fish is usually out
the only
there. But
problem I see with boats, Nick, mm-hmm. is we had one at the sheriff's office and mm-hmm. keeping it running. If you don't take yes. those boats out and use them at least every month or so, then you run motor problems. You have to take it and get it worked on, and when you need it, it's not going to start.
That would we would have to put it in a weekly. We'd have to put it in a weekly. Whether we didn't even get it out and run it, we'd have to stick at least in the bay at Westside Park and run the motor on it. It would have to be kept up because, well, you're right. Every time you need it, I've always told boat stands for one thing, break out another thousand.
Yeah.
So. But the good thing about it is if it just become a complete money pit and it wasn't something we was using or whatever, we'd send it back to the Forestry Commission, from my understanding. I think it's something to entertain.
I'm going to let you go through. We got to get you Devin's stuff before budget meeting. But a couple things real fast on these items that you're wanting to purchase with bond money. Mm-hmm. Do those still need to go through bid process?
From what I understand, it doesn't have to.
Okay. We just didn't make sure of that. I'd feel better about just making sure you just double check that.
I will. I think Kevin Barman had told us it didn't have to.
Okay. Make sure of that. I do think that you need to bring those, so we'll do those at council just for approval that okay. still spending that brush or still put it spending that bond funds. That you know what we're gonna purchase with that and how much it's gonna be.
Okay.
Since we're essentially still gonna be over those responsible for those funds. So you want to go
on that, Susan? I'm sorry, I have a question. Where are we going to store, let's say you get the truck, the tanker, and the side-by-side, where are these going to be kept?
We will have enough room. My plan is for station 3. Station 3 is going to have the new engine that's coming out there. The tanker would go in the back building. And then I hadn't worked it out completely where everything's going, but yes, we okay. have indoor storage
we
for
do have
it. Yes, okay. we have indoor storage for everything.
Are we both a city and a rural fire department? You mentioned Franklin County.
No, but we do mutual aid. We do mutual aid for everyone
so
in the county.
Say we were out as far north as Cass, mm-hmm. some building downtown caught on fire.
When we go out of town, we try to limit it to 3 to 4 people. We try to manage that. We always try to manage
you
that.
We always have enough in town in case something catches on fire.
We might not have enough in town right now.
The problem is Pleasant View, they have one or two guys out there, so it's like one or two guys, and so the sheriff's office always pinches Ozark out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's the
volunteer calls yeah. and everything. It's yeah. constantly.
It's okay. constant.
We 21 we, firefighters right now.
Yeah.
About
that 22. Yeah, and honestly, I have about 7 people that
respond.
If this tone hits, if they're in Ozark and they're not somewhere.
That's one reason I asked the question. I thought we were first and foremost the city of Ozark.
We are, but I mean, our. Am I not going to go cut somebody out of a car on Barnes Mountain because I'm afraid there's going to be a house fire in town?
Yeah.
That's the only bad part. But like I said, we do limit it to, we try to control that of, three
well,
or four
like
guys go.
Said, and I think he has a point. They dispatch those, they know we're the big city, we have the fire equipment set up.
Well, they dispatch the other departments first, but they'll page them for 5 minutes and don't get any response out of them.
I know.
That's the
best
part.
Now, Alice does have a rural fire department. Do they ever page them?
They page them all the time, and we always end up going.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what
Just because their numbers are low.
Yeah, I know.
We're lucky there's 20 of us. The numbers are bad low for them. I know it took a lot of time, but I wanted to put some of this stuff out for you a lot. You can read my other stuff there if you want to, but that's just kind of the going-ons that we have at the fire department.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Devin, you ready?
Yeah.
That didn't sound.
We put in for the LLEBG grant. We're still trying to get $2,300 from them. I've been dealing with them again today. We put in for a vest grant through the Department of Justice to replace some of our older vests. It's a matching grant where we pay half of it. They said we should know within the next 2 weeks whether we get that grant or not. So we ended up purchasing a BAC machine. The county's BAC machine's down pretty much all the time, so we're not doing DWIs, we're doing like public intoxes and things. I asked the county if we could have the machine and we keep it running. We sent, we've got three senior operators here. The county said no, they wanted to keep it, so we ended up looking around for a used one. It was over $8,000. We found a used one for $3,000. We ended up purchasing it. It's at the health department getting reprogrammed for, it was our police department, so.
You're gonna have that here?
We're gonna have it here. In fact, there's a little room, the report room right off the lobby. It's got audio and video in there. The lobby has audio and videos. All that stuff will be recorded. We went to Lowe's the other day and bought an unfinished cabinet and a countertop for $260, I think. Countertop stuff was on clearance. We stained it, put it together, and it's in there. All we're needing is the machine. Okay. $3,000, so you come with the printer and all the stuff that goes with the accessories, the simulators and all that. So. On maintenance on vehicles, we've got we've spent $15,501.69 so far this year on maintenance. Three of the cars that we've been having the biggest problems with, two of them are full-time cars. One of them is one that we've replaced earlier this year. The motor's out in it. They said we could drive it until it went down, or we could change the motor. It's a 2010. So instead of trying to spend $6,000 or $7,000, they said the cost to replace the motor and everything, we decided we'd just drive it until it quit. The water pump went out on it the other day, so we're just going to register it and take it to the county yard. It's a sister to the one that's already up there. It's the same problem, same model and everything, that same issue with the camshaft and stuff on it. So this year we'd like to try to get, or next year, the first year or so, try to get a vehicle or two to replace it.
Okay, anything else?
Can't think of anything.
How many officers do we have?
We have 11 full-time and we have 4 part-time and 3 reserves.
How many vehicles?
We have 13 vehicles, I think.
13 running ones?
I cannot spell vehicles.
Yes. Got two. In fact, they're the 2009s. The 2010s is the ones giving us the problems. The 2009s we use for one of our cars in the shop, or to pull the sign trailer around, or stuff like that. Backup car.
How many officers stay on duty most of the time? At a time.
We usually have 2 most times.
I missed that last question, Charlie. What'd you ask?
How many officers he had on duty most of the time?
Okay. And what was that answer?
Two.
We have officer that works 7 in the morning to 7 at night. One works 7 at night to 7 in the morning. Then we have a cover guy that works like 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Okay.
You say four part-time?
Currently, only officers driving the vehicle home.
Full-time, dude. Dennis does it. Well, he does, I'm sorry. He drives one of the old units home. He leaves a code enforcement truck here in case his night shift has to deal with animals or anything like that.
Those are my questions.
Okay. Nobody else here? Anything else? Rex, you got any other questions?
No.
Okay. We will adjourn this meeting and...